Pacifica was invaluable in getting some of these things into the atmosphere.
Do you think that the American public is not being informed of the extent of the casualties, both as far as dead and wounded is concerned?
Yes, I do.
There could have been no question in the minds of the audience that I was against the war in Vietnam, that I was against racism, and I never made any effort to conceal that.
Now, it seems to me that what you're asking for is revolutionary change.
Before you have any change, first black people have to gain political power.
See, people are so hung up on this business of somebody's got a gun that they are not really thinking beyond that, many of them.
Revolution has come. Oh, baby. Time to take up the gun. Oh, baby.
Elsa Knight Thompson had hammered KPFA's public affairs department into an unyielding voice of dissent. At the end of a volatile decade, she would be swept aside by some of the very forces she had championed.
The world that Elsa Knight Thompson represented, which was a kind of curious bridge between the highbrow world of Lewis Hill and the dissent world that she helped create, this world becomes besieged by new people who want their voice included in it. And Elsa Knight Thompson, with her very, very strict, very specific standards for how radio should be done, became more and more of an anachronism as these pressures began to mount.
KPFA kindled a movement called Community Radio. By the early 1970s, community, for growing numbers of people, meant race, gender, and other categories of identity.
You got all these people coming in with all these different issues, all these different agendas, everybody wanting to have access to the air.
Imagine a 20-year-old with a lot of energy and ideas. It gave me a place to come and play music that we liked, to share literature that we liked, to come and talk about issues that were going on in the community. But we were not integrated into the station. Our office was actually the broom closet. I'm serious that this is, it was, the, there was a little room that had served as the janitor and broom closet, which had been cleaned out so that our collective, and then by that point there was an African-American collective, and there was a Chinese group, and we all functioned out of this broom closet.
It was a time of enormous creativity in the station. There were all these young, politicized activists, and the only real discipline within the station was that you had a time when your program was on the air, and you had to be ready for that.
My main objective was to get avant-garde jazz music on the air. I was passionate about it. I believed in it. And if someone called up and said, "Why are you doing this to me?" I would get on the air and said, "Look, you don't have to listen to this. This music is for the culturally enlightened. You know, you can go back to sleep."
Eventually, these collectives, these small groups of people that had been working as volunteers, became aware of their own number and power. We started questioning the institution as to its hiring policies. We sort of turned around and said, "Wait a minute, we're working for you as volunteers, but you're not hiring anyone from the communities that we come from, and we think that's wrong."
Whatever you do.
In August 1974, the entire staff walked out and forced KPFA off the air. The strikers demanded more community control over programming, the creation of a third world department, and new management. 4 weeks later, they won and elected Larry Binsky as station manager.
We all had a kind of a common purpose, but our common agenda really wasn't as common as people might have assumed. We had three different lesbian groups, for example. I could not distinguish, and they could not make me distinguish by telling me what the difference was among them politically, but they all insisted they were politically different. We had two different groups of people who supported the Chilean Revolution who wouldn't speak to each other. We had black cultural nationalists. We had black revolutionaries who didn't like each other. We had all kinds of people, even within the disenfranchised groups, who were really at each other's throats from day one, and I was, among other things, supposed to be the person who could heal and peacemake among these groups, many of whom didn't even want to deal with me because I wasn't of their group.